Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Zero, zero, zero. Good morning, Sahorita House of Worship. I am glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And so I hope that you came with a heart full of worship, a heart full of love, not only for our Lord Jesus, but for each other. And so before you leave here, I would love you to just love somebody, talk to somebody, get to know somebody. For now, we're gonna pray to get us started. But first, I want to tell you that this microphone, I'm going to mention it again. This microphone is meant for you to come and give a testimony. This microphone is meant for you to come and just say anything that's in your heart. It's open to you guys. And we want, amen, we want this church to minister to each other. And I know this is a little bit different than most churches do, but you're going to find that this church is a little bit different than most churches. So, but we are following whatever the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And so if you find it a little different, just go with the flow and I'll bet you're going to be all right. So just join me in prayer, if you would. Would you all stand with me, please? Father God, we do thank you, Lord, that you stir our hearts, Lord. You stir our hearts to be here this day. And Lord, we're not here just because. We're here to meet with you, Lord. We're here to share each other's hearts. And Lord, it is for your glory, Lord, that whatever we do this day, Lord, the preaching, the worship, the fellowship, Lord, this is because we love you, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you would bless, Lord, all that takes place today, Lord. Bless the worship team. Bless Pastor Henry as he brings a message this morning. And, Lord, bless that person that's sitting next to the wife or the husband or a friend, Lord. Just bless each person here this day. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
There's something about your worship. Can I tell you that creation just praises him? It does on a regular basis. So our worship is such a moment of communion with the Father. It really is. It's why worship is about the heart. It really is. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what church you go to, the words that are being sang, the things. It doesn't matter if you know the song because you sang it 5 million times or if you sang it twice. I can walk into a church and a song that I've never known, I could feel the presence to because it's about finding that place of worship. Oh, come on. David, his worship was every single thing that was happening in his life. It wasn't a certain amount of words. It wasn't a certain thing that had to be said. It was every single thing he felt, everything he wanted to talk to God about, every single thing that he knew for his father to be. It was personal. It was worship. It didn't matter. To him, it was a prayer. It was an outreach. It was just a pouring out of love to the Father. Oh, come on, church. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited because it's your ability to speak to the Father all the time. It's your ability in a happy moment to say, praise God that you are giving me victory. That when I'm not sure about what's happening, you are sure. And through it all, I'm just going to continue to say, this is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh. Your worship is your prayer. It's your outpouring to God. It's your show of love. That's what it is. Oh. That's why it's so powerful. because it really is your communion with him.
As I were playing that song before this one about the names, the thousands of names that he's known by, the one name that I was waiting for, the one name that Jesus gave to his disciples, the one name that redefined the King of Kings, Abba, Papa, Daddy. That's the name that I was waiting for. What does your God look like? What is your God called? What's his name? I was talking to one of my papas this morning, Billy, and we were talking about this. Jesus, I'm going to go back just a second. I was in a Sunday school class one day. If you want, you can have a seat. I'm not going to take the whole time, but I'm going to take a little bit of time. I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and my friend Clint was sharing. And he said something. He asked a question. He says, why was Jesus crucified? So immediately what comes to mind? Why did he die? For our sins, to show his love, right? But what was he accused of? He was accused of blasphemy. That was the charge against him. Because he called himself what? The Son of God, making himself God. That's what he was accused of, blasphemy. But what he, another thing, as I was saying right now, when he was talking to his disciples, they said, how do we pray? He said, pray like this, Father, Abba in heaven. The very first thing he did was identify who God really was. He changed the perspective to his disciples and to the world to say, hey, God is not some mean, judgmental ogre sitting on a throne with lightning bolts waiting for you to mess up so he can bring down his wrath and judgment and anger upon you. Jesus wasn't there just to take the wrath of God for us. He took the sin of the world upon himself and died. Jesus was God. He showed us that he's not punitive in his judgment. And that's the God that I've always learned about, was a punitive God that was out to get me, and I had to get better so I could approach him. Jesus said, Abba. His judgment is redemptive. His judgment is redemptive. It's not punitive. We've been taught it's punitive, and hopefully we can be good enough to make it to this place somewhere over there called heaven, to some God over there that is just trying to get me. No, 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 no. Jesus showed us a whole new God. And it's not that he was new. It was that we had learned and come away from him. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they did what they weren't supposed to do, we have been taught that God cannot look upon sin, right? He can't look on it. But the first thing that God did, he came, Adam, where are you? He came looking for Adam. He came looking for the one who had sinned. He didn't look away and say, oh, I got to leave. Angels deal with them. I'll wait for a few thousand years till Jesus comes and fix this. No, no, no. He came looking. And he's been looking. He's been chasing. After every single heart, after every single life, He's not waiting for you to get better. He's just waiting for you to say, I need you. That's it. He's always been there. He'll always be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there. He's always there. We may try to run. I was talking with my dad this morning about the prodigal son. That's the title. If you look on your book, it says the prodigal son. It talks about it. But a better name for that is the redeemed son. But the more excellent name of that story is a loving father. That's what that story is about, is a father that loved his child, his son. The son's name never changed. He went off and he squandered and he lived a prodigal lifestyle, but his identity never changed. His sonship never changed. He thought it did, but it never did. Because when he came home, his dad was waiting for him and he ran out to go redeem him. He went out and said, here, my authority, I give it right back to you. My shoes, peace, I give them to you. I take off my cloak, and he clothed them back with righteousness. And then he said, now let's have a feast. That's our God. That's who my God is. My God isn't just God over there. He's Papa right here. Papa right here.
God told me to tell you que dejes todos tus temores atrás. Dejes todo lo que tienes atrás de ti. Todo, todo. Everything behind. Everything. Because he has so much for you. So much. He wanna give you everything that he has for you. He has a lot of things so good for you. He don't wanna hide anything that he has for you. He told me he has the best. He told me just open your heart and you're gonna see a lot of good things on your life. And you're gonna be so proud of yourself and everything is gonna happen. I don't wanna say anything. I was gonna just say it for yourself. But God told me to tell the congregation what he has for you. I asked him if I want me to say it just for you. And he want me to tell you in front of the congregation. So I don't want to hide it. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
First thing I want to say is that everything he does, there's nothing he does that he doesn't have us in mind. Everything he does, his creation, the Bible he's given us, a love letter to us, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it's all for us. And I want you to realize that. I want you to think about that God does nothing without us in mind. And the next thing I want to say, there's a story in the book of Acts, and it's Acts chapter 12. The young man that was up here speaking before, I was at his home this morning and we were speaking, and he said, you know, when you go today, if you have a word, just get up there and share it. So I was praying during the worship and the Lord showed me this. There's a story in Acts chapter 12 and it's about Peter. And Peter got thrown in prison. And it says the church was praying for him. So here's what happens. Here's what happens in our lives. It says that he was put in chains and he was locked up behind a door, prison door. So the church is praying. And here's what happens to us. It could be our past. It could be we lost a husband or we lost a wife or we lost a child and we are chained to that past. We are chained to that and that becomes our lives. But you see, the Lord, Peter's in prison, the church is praying, and the Lord sends an angel. And you know what happens? The chains fall off. The chains fall off, and it says the prison door opened of its own accord. Peter did not do it. So this is what I want to say. Paul said in Philippians, he said, one thing I have apprehended, forgetting those things that are behind. So if you are chained to your past, or you are chained, maybe you lost a business, or maybe you lost a bunch of money, or maybe you lost a husband, or you lost a wife, or you lost something, and that is holding you back, and it's holding you down. You see, Jesus in John chapter 10, this is what he said about himself. He said, I am the open door. God has a new life for you. You do not have to be chained to your past. I'm telling you, that he has, in Jeremiah, it says, I give you a future and a hope. You have to get this mindset that everything God does, he does because he has you in mind. If you lost a husband or you lost a wife, he has a new future for you. You do not have to live in the past. I don't know who this is for. This is for somebody here. Because the Holy Spirit did not give me this for nothing. So what I'm saying is, today is your day to get set free from your past and to open, let God open the door. Don't you try to open it. Let him do it. He said, the word says, it opened of its own accord. And the other thing is, if you're lonely, I want to tell you this about Jesus. They said all these names about Jesus. He is the lover of your soul. He loves you with an unconditional love. And no one on earth will ever love you with the love that he has for you. Okay? I could say a lot more, but this brother's going to preach here, and I'm done. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Give God a clap. How many know there's a song going on in heaven that's going on and on, ever and ever? Come on. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Tell him, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being Father God, my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, give somebody a high five and say thank you for coming and have a seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming, bro. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God's good words this morning. Hallelujah. Shining bunch of folks. 10 o'clock. You made it here today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, man. Been quite a week. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. You know that? How many of you know that? I say, and all the time, what? God is good. Is God good? Has he been good to you? Hallelujah. Does he care about you? Hallelujah. Does he take care of you? Hallelujah. Come on. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to sing songs to the Lord. It's good to lift up his name and worship him. Hallelujah. One of these days I'm going to get everybody to jump. I'm going to just say, you jump. Yeah, come on, man. I'm just going to make everybody jump. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah, brother, but that's not my thing. Yeah, it's not mine either. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it feels good. Hallelujah. Because I don't jump for y'all. Amen. How many say amen? I jump for him and him alone. Amen. Hallelujah. For my papa. Amen. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Abba. Hallelujah. My dad. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's go into the word of God. Luke chapter 24. We're going to go and we're going to talk about Emmaus. How many of you remember the story of Emmaus, the road to Emmaus? This is right off, right? It was the same day as the resurrection. There's a couple of guys that are walking. They're walking with 3-day blues. Amen? Yeah. Is anybody here? Hello? Yeah. You guys know what the 3-day blues is, right? There, things didn't go right. How many of you say that sometimes things don't go right? You know, I would not like it to go like this. Amen? Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Just don't. Amen. What? What? But you're in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Sometimes it hurts. Amen? Like what we said. Hey, but you're in it. Amen. You might as well just go ahead and praise God. You might as well just open your mouth and say, God, I thank you for what's going on even right now. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God is always looking to hear a voice of worship and praise out of your mouth. He's always listening for it. Hallelujah. Because he's good. The whole nation, the whole creation worships God. Do you know that? Everything shouts out that God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you look at the trees, they got their little hands up. Amen. Right now, I was at my brother-in-law's house, and his saguaro's got all these little bonnets on them. Have you guys seen the little white bonnets that are on the end? They got a little thing here, and it's like a praise to the king. Here you go. And that's the first thing I looked at. I go, oh, praise God. Look at that cactus. One thing you don't want to do is run up and hug him. Amen. Hallelujah. Give you a shock. Amen. Hallelujah. But I tell you, they're beautiful. Amen. This time of year is beautiful. Amen? Hallelujah. It's like the whole earth celebrates the resurrection. Is that right? Springtime. Amen? Jesus sprang out of that grave. Amen? Come on. Springtime. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 13, if you will. Praise God. Hey, let's pray. Father, this is the day that you've made, Lord. And Lord, we do rejoice. We do honor you, Father, today with gladness. Gladness that you have been who you are to us, Father God. So good to us. Father, I ask, Father God, that you would quicken, Father God, the words that come out of your word to the hearts of those around us, those that are here, Lord, that you would, by your spirit, quicken them, Father. Father, that you would bring them to an understanding greater than they've ever had of you today. Father God, that fresh food, fresh bread from heaven would fall on the hearts of your people somehow, some way. Holy Spirit, we trust you to do that for us. So we thank you for it this morning. We honor you, God. We honor your word, Lord. Lord. Speak to us today in a new way, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, amen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many want God to speak to you? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know God speaks? Hallelujah. How many know that God will say something to you just at the right time? Amen. Just when you're doing something wrong. Amen. We're talking about Samuel and Saul. And right when Saul finished sacrificing, which he thought was the right thing, guess who shows up? Samuel. And he tells him, that's not the right thing, bro. Should have waited. But God, he knows us better than we know ourselves. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he knows the end from the beginning, the future? He knows your future. He knows your past. And like your brother said this morning, cut off that past and just keep going. Amen. Whatever's happened, whatever's hurting you, hey, drop it out. Well, it's not that easy, brother. Well, guess what? That cross wasn't easy for Jesus either, was it? It wasn't easy, but he went through it. He endured it, and he came out the other side, because the Word of God says that he endured it because of the joy that was set before him in enduring that cross. And praise God, hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through today, but you can endure it. God will help you to endure it, and he will take you through. Amen? And you will learn something. You will know something. You will understand something even greater than you ever did before. So here's the story where the ladies had gone to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they showed up, man, the stone was rolled away. Huge stone, not a little stone like we have. It was a big stone. It was carved, and it was set up against that tomb to keep people out. And here they come, and they're wondering, who are we going to get to open to roll away the stone so we go in and anoint the body of Jesus. And as they arrive, they see that it's opened already. So they go in, and they see that he's not there. Amen. And you hear an angel speaking to him. He says, hey, what are you looking for? Why are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you looking for him here? He's not here. He is risen. Amen? Praise God. So there's a little bit of a shock going on. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you something? Sometimes the things in the Bible are shocking. Is that right? Resurrection is kind of a shocking thing. Amen? Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Let's say you were sleeping in the morgue because it was just a warm place to sleep. And all of a sudden, there's a body. She wakes up, and maybe I'll tell you, it's kind of shocking. Amen. Yeah, it's not a real, that's not a thing that happens every day. Amen. Yes. Huh, hallelujah. God does some shocking things. Amen. He'll shock you. He will. He'll open some things up to you, what you never thought would be opened up to you. And these people, man, they go, what? He's gone. What do you mean he's alive? He's alive, yeah. So they run back and they tell the apostles. Some believe, some don't. Peter and John run to the tomb, amen? And they go in there, and Peter goes in, and he sees that it was empty, but he didn't see Jesus. And this is where we get up to the story that we're going to read right now. And he says, verse 13, says, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that just like the Lord? Doesn't the Word of God say that when two of you are together concerning anything, when if two of you are there, he's in the midst? Is that what the Word of God says? That's we can set it up for you real quick. Matthew 18:20 says this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Go back, Terry. There he is in the midst. So these two guys are walking. And guess who shows up? Jesus. Amen? How many would like this to happen to you? Just for him to walk with you and talk with you. How many would like that? Guess what? He does that every day. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. He never leave you and never forsake you, even unto the end of the what? Whatever. The world. Come on, man. He's always with you. All right? And here he shows up with these guys. And it says, it came to pass while they continued together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus knows when you're sad, when you're happy, when you're faking it. I mean, how many ever had to... You know, there's a term out there. We're going to have to fake it till we make it. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus knows all of that? He knows everything going on about you. He's not, man, he knows. Amen? Aren't you glad he knows? Mm. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which are come to pass here, there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" I love Jesus. I think Jesus is the coolest. Amen? What things? What things? What are you talking about? What things? Come on, man. Jesus can make them tell him. Amen? Yeah. He says, "What things?" Oh. And he said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Notice what they said. We trusted that he was going to redeem Israel. But apparently not. That's why they were so sad. Man, he was powerful in miracles and deeds. And our chief priests, the ones who were supposed to look to, they crucified him. So you want to know why we're so sad? There you go, right there. That's it. Stranger, amen? Hallelujah. Oh, this wasn't no stranger. He was no stranger. Amen? Everybody say, look at your neighbor and say, he was no stranger. no stranger than you. Amen. Come on. Man. Set you up. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was," and I think we put a pause in it, and they were looking at him, that he was, well, alive. Hallelujah. See, somebody had already told them, but they didn't believe the message. Is that right? They told the stranger, they said that they saw an angel. And the angel said that he was alive. Oh, man, come on. They had the message, amen? They had that message. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found that it was even so as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said unto them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." I want to tell you something. That word right there is a word for us today. I mean, say amen to that. Amen. This word, "oh fools and slow." I mean, hey, we can take the fools out. How's that? I say, "oh slow of heart." Come on, man. Hey, don't get hurt. Don't get in a little bind on yourself, man. Hey, can I tell you, sometimes we're a little slow in heart to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. How many say amen to that? God has said some things in his word. Therefore, today, whether we believe them or not, and God says, "I've got mysteries I'm going to unfold. I'm going to open them up to you. If you don't want to believe them, don't believe them. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not like that. I am somebody that I want to know what he's talking about for today." He's not a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. He is able to do far more above all that we can think today. Yes. Than what he's ever done. Sometimes we think, "Oh, we know it all." No, we don't. He's a big God. Oh, my goodness. Do you know that we got a lot to learn? Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't want to be slow in heart. How about you? Linda, you want to be slow in heart? No way. How many want to be slow in heart? Raise your hand right now. Come on. Slow in heart, man. That's my challenge. I'm going to tell you what. I don't. I want God to speak to me. I want my life going in a way where I can hear him speak in an instant. Right now, right then, hallelujah, whatever's going on, hallelujah. And can I tell you, he does, he will, hallelujah, glory God. He says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Can I tell you, God, he played like he was going to go further. Amen? But God, let me just tell you something. He's already gone further. He has gone so far ahead of us to prepare the way for us. Can I say that to you? He has prepared a destiny, a purpose, a plan for each and every person that's in this building. He has prepared. He's gone so far ahead. He played like he was going to go ahead. But then they constrained him, didn't they? They said, hey, no, no, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. You know, when you got somebody ministering to you, isn't it something? How many of you like somebody to minister when they're talking to you and you're just, oh man, I didn't know that. You know, Brother Reuben, how many of you know Brother? Anybody know Brother? Brother Reuben used to come over to our house. He'd go to Mexico and he'd witness and he'd pray for folks and he'd on his way stop back and he would sit at our dining table. And Jonathan would crawl out of bed and go over there and he'd sit there and just listen to the things that was going on. It's wonder. It's, I mean, can I tell you something? The things that God has for us, hallelujah, are wonderful. I mean, say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Says this. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, stranger. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave to them. Notice they invited him, but who was leading the bread line? Who was leading? Who was the one doing the serving? Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. There's a message in that, but I better not get into that one right there. All right. And blessed it and brayton gave it to him, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Hallelujah. Isn't it something? When Jesus reveals himself to you, how many remember the day that he revealed himself to you? Do you remember that? I remember I was going along, minding my own business, being a drunk, whatever, finding different dents on my car. I go, where'd that come from? Probably from that, what I was doing. Can I tell you folks that the things that are that God has for you are so much better than the things that we think we need to have. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Sometimes the things that we think we need to have are things that will actually hurt us. Yeah. But God will say, well, you know what? I love you. I'm going to let you go along the way a little bit so that you can see that these things might not be what I have for you. And then God begins to show you these things. He begins to reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. Because he does have a better way. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Anyway. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then verse 32 says, and they said one to another, and this is the power verse today. This is the verse I really want you to think about. It says, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour. Now they don't even care about going to bed. Amen? They don't care what time it is. They're going to head back. Why? God, Jesus had actually manifested to them. They saw him. They go, we got to go tell the others. Amen? Hallelujah. They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love this story. But why did you have to disappear? Amen? Why? Lord, what's that all about? Now they know who you are. And boom, you're gone. Hallelujah. You know what I figured out? He does things the way he wants to do them, and that's about it. Amen? Who am I? Why is it, I bet they felt the same way. Hey, why do you think he left? Oh, come on, man. But I love that. Didn't your heart burn? Didn't our hearts burn? Hallelujah. Jesus said this, oh, slow oh, slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. I want to just go through a few things that this prophet has spoken. Is that okay? I'm not going to keep you here too long. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Here is something. Oh, slow in heart. Hey, we got to believe the things that the prophets have spoken. Surely he has borne your griefs. Amen? Just like we said this morning, we know what's going on in your heart. There can be some heartfelt, broken hearts in the building. He knows. And it says here, he bore your grief and carried your sorrows. Amen? Do you believe it? Yeah. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. How many believe that? Yeah. He paid the price for you. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. How many like peace? How many love peace? Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? God is not a God. I mean, Jesus is what the Word of God calls him, the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
How many know that? That he's called the Prince of Peace. He paid the price for peace in your life. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. You don't have to be fighting anything. Can I say that to you? The only thing you want to fight are those things that are in your head are contrary to what God is saying in his word. Those are the things you fight. Can I tell you something? The devil is invisible. I don't like saying his name in here. I'll just call him the devil. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent, all-powerful. He is not all of these. He is a defeated creature.
That's right. Yeah.
Defeated. You got no business messing around with them. Just say, hey, man, God's word, man. Hey, man. Folks talk about, well, we got to do battle. Yeah, well, Jesus already did that battle. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God tells us over and over, the battle is the Lord. Why are we doing battle? The word of God says for us to rest. Peace be unto you is what Jesus said when he walked into the room after on that, just in a little while, we were going to see that Jesus walked into the room and he goes, peace to you. He didn't say battle to you. He didn't say that. Wars and rumors of wars. No, he said, no, for you guys believe in me, peace to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you, it is a beautiful position that God has placed his kids in a position of peace. Amen? Hallelujah. He's already done the war. The war's over. Come on, man. I was taught that you gotta get up. Anyway, don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, verses 13 and 14, watch this. Oh, wait, I didn't get the last part of that, did I? The Bible says that it said that by his stripes you've been healed. Did you hear that? Make sure you understand what we're talking about today. Jesus is saying, oh, fool, oh, well, he said fools, but he said, and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The prophets spoke this about, and he says, by his stripes we are healed. Is that right? How many say amen to that?
Yeah.
Amen. Speak to your body. Tell your body. Say, hey, big toe, big toe, I don't care what you think, you're healed. Amen? Amen. Gout, out. Amen? Gout out. Hallelujah. Diabetes, I ain't got a good one for that. Say, hey, but anyway, get it out. Amen. Can't stand, can't stay. Amen. You believe. Don't be slow in heart in these things. Let God's word be the pusher in your life. This is what it says. Amen. That's what I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. By his stripes, you have been healed. The next verse, Terry. Thank you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, 13 and 14. That was the one. 53, 13, 14. Oh, I'm sorry. 54, 13, and 14. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord. How many say amen to that? I mean, hey, that's a big one. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the what of your children? Peace. Everybody say peace. Say it again, peace.
Peace.
Yeah, let's do it one more time, a little louder. Peace. Great shall be the peace of your children. Can I tell you something? We are the greatest promoters of fear if you allow it to your children. If you're afraid, they're going to be afraid.
Yeah.
But if you stand in peace because of who he is and because of the Lord, you know what? They will stand in peace. It pushes on. It moves in. It moves forward into your children. Great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. How many of you are righteous? Hey, everyone, if Jesus died for you, you need to pick your hand up, man. Yeah, I might not know some things, Pastor, but I'm righteous. The things that God has placed, the Holy Spirit within me says that I am, that Jesus paid our debt for our sins that we might have the righteousness of God placed upon us. Is that okay? It's an exchange. He took your sin, you took his righteousness. How can you go wrong? How? You are righteous. In righteousness, you'll be established. Got to know that. Amen? Believe what the prophets have spoken. Praise God. Thou shalt be far from oppression. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. I mean, come on. Hey, oppression comes in many forms. People press you to do things. Your work presses you to do. Something presses you and presses you to do. And you know what? You will be far from oppression. Why? Because the Prince of Peace lives in your life. Praise God. For it shall not come where? Near you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. How do you say amen? Hey, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you know that you are a diadem of beauty? Do you know that? A diadem, that is something that a king holds. You are a diadem of beauty in this world. Can I say amen to that? The glory of the Lord is upon you, O child of God. Amen? Don't let anybody ever talk you out of that. Don't tell yourself things that will say something to you that's contrary to what it's saying. The light of the Lord is upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness to people. Can I tell you how many, how's it look out there right now? Can I tell you the people out there, they need light. Amen? Yeah. Guess where that's coming from? Guess where God has purposed in his heart to use so that they might have light? Y'all. Look at your friend, point at him, say, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you point back to him. Yeah, you. Yeah, you can do that. His glory shall be seen. The Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen. What? Upon you. The glory shall rise upon you. I like this statement the way it says it. It's not saying it's going to descend upon you. Do you know that? Do you see that? Do you understand that? It's not he's up there somewhere and all of a sudden he's going to anoint you and boom, all of a sudden it fall on you. But no, it's going to arise. It's come from within. It will arise. And that anointing, that power, hallelujah, that glory will be seen upon you. Amen. Praise God. These are just random things, but I want you to look at the Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. The prophet said this also. I said, and man, God has been all over me about this for the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I don't know, 6 years, I don't know how many years, but it says this, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
What is the power of the grave? The D word, amen? I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death, right? This is what God's saying. I didn't make it up, amen? I didn't put the scripture in there, did I, John? I didn't put it in there. It's in there. Look it up. Go home and look at your Bibles. The scripture is really in there. It really is. And it says, I will redeem them from death. And then he says, oh, death, I will be your plague. That's God talking. He's talking about death. He says, hey, man, you know, guess what? You're going to have to deal with me because I'm going to make you sick. Hey, amen? I say, yeah, I can go with that. I will be your plague. And then he said, oh, graves, I will be your destruction. And then he says, and he adds something on top. He says, repentance shall be hid from my eyes. What does he mean by that? See, God's not a liar. He's not the son of man that he should repent of the things that he said. And he's saying, what I'm saying right here, I'm not repenting for it. It's going to happen. How many say amen to that? This is part of your inheritance, folks. It's real. It's real. Get a hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't ever treat death as a friend. Amen? Never. Never. Everybody say never.
Never.
Never, never. I mean, say, everybody say never. What's the difference of never? What's the opposite of never? Always. Always believe what God is saying. Always go after what he's saying. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 61, verse 4. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. This one came to my heart, man. I was jumping around and looking at that one about death and the grave. I was up in, at night, man. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah, God. Yeah, thank you. You're going to let me put this in there, God. I will tell you, I'm very selective. Because I don't put these things in there at random just to say, hey, I want to put it in there because I want to look smart, because I'm not. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I'm blind and I can't hear. That's what the word of God says. Who is as blind as my servant, and who is as deaf as my people? Amen. Because I don't see the same way people see around me. I don't hear the same way people hear around me. I want to see his things. I want to hear his things. And sometimes those things are different. I mean, say amen to that. We talk about the upside down kingdom. Is that right, Terry? There's a kingdom. It's upside down. What you think is right, God is saying, no, that's not right. It looks right, but it's not right. Amen? Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. It says here, they shall build the old waste. You are sitting in a place that used to be a waste. How many say amen to that? You know, I'm not saying nothing about bowling. So all you bowling lovers, hallelujah. If you guys want to bowl, man, I got 5 lanes left. Is that right, John? We got 5 lanes left, and we've got like 5 pins. So if you want to bowl, we'll set them up for you, and you go to town. But this place used to be where people would drink. This place used to be where people would cuss and smoke and smoke different kinds of substances. I say amen to that. All those kind of crazy things. They breathe things into their nose. How many say, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And the building actually, and the city actually laid kind of desolate. Amen. It was desolate. But God came into this building. And when he came in, we heard a rumbling in the rooftop. Amen. It was like there was a troop running on the roof up there. But that door right there flew open. The one outside of that door going out, it flew open. Papers. There ain't no way we could generate enough wind in here to blow those doors open. How do you say amen to that? It was. We better get out of here because God is our plague. We better leave, man. You know, I'll tell you what. It was very apparent what happened that morning. There were some spiritual things in here, and they left. And the desolate, this building, which was desolate, became a property of God. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. They'll raise up the former desolation. This was a former desolation. God's raising this up. And then they shall repair the waste cities. Every city that is not glorifying God. I believe, you know, we walk around the city. I've asked people to just walk down your neighborhood. Just wherever you live, just walk down to the end of the block and go to the other end of the block. Or if you live on the corner, walk to one end of the block and just declare, hey, this belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's in fullness of it. That's all you got. It's not hard. Amen. You might find yourself going a little further. You might find yourself hearing God say, hey, now I want you to go here or that. Because I will tell you, God likes obedience, amen? And God will begin to tell you, go over here. He started me with just going around the building. And then it was over, hey, well, go around these apartment complexes. Okay, well, what if they don't let me in over there? It's closed. They let me in. I went to talk to them. They said, oh, yeah, you can come in here to what? Pray. Yeah. Oh, well, you're not going to knock on doors. I said, no, we just want to pray for your business. We want to pray for the people that move in here. We'll be healed. We want to pray that people will come to know the Lord. She goes, pray all you want. Praise God. Yeah, come on. They open that up to me. Then he says, I want you to go up by Safeway. Oh, come on, Lord. Why don't you go over to Walmart? Okay, Lord. Then he goes, hey, he says, hey, Henry, today, he calls it the Sarita Corridor. You know, you guys know where the Sarita Corridor is? That's where the town hall, that's all the schools over there. Go over there and pray. So we go. I got a walking buddy. I got a brother that walks with me. Brother Terry will walk with me. Tommy's walked with me. We've gone down and we've gone all the way to the river and turn around and come all the way back. That's a nice little walk. But I'll tell you what, we might not see things in the natural, but I'll tell you, God is doing things. He is moving things. Hallelujah. These are real, folks. These are real. Do not forget. Don't be slow in heart of all the things that the prophets have said. This is what we're doing. We are declaring righteousness over a desolate city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarita Green Valley is one of those cities we believe is going to be a light on a mountaintop. A mount that can't be hid. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus might be in the valley, but it's going to be on the mountaintop. Amen. Joel chapter 2:28. Don't forget what the prophets have said. This is Joel 2:28. And it says this, that shall come to pass afterward. Is what this God's saying. Afterward. How many know we're living in the afterward? Yeah. It says this shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad that Jesus poured his spirit into your life? Are you glad? Hallelujah. Are you seeing visions? Are you seeing dreams? Let him give you visions and dreams. Set your affection on things above and watch what he does. Amen? I mean, just look at the kingdom of God. Say, seek first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And everything will be added to you. Is that what the word says? Do that and watch the visions. Watch the dreams. Amen. How many like dreams? How many dream in color? 3, 4, 5. I think I dream in color. I don't know. I've seen some crazy things. God has given visions. Let me just say this. This house is under a vision. Well, it's actually under two visions. Did you know that? Do you know that? There's two visions this house is under. One, it's the upper pool vision. It's a lake. It is a there's a water pipe coming out of the lake, and there's a man standing at the end of the water pipe, and he's standing in front of a road, but there's two fields, and this water comes down that pipe into the man. He opens his mouth, and the water starts sprinkling on these two fields, and in that vision, trees. Not trees, but it looked like corn stalks began to grow. And the Lord said to me when I saw the vision, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I said, who, me? you talking to me? Amen. Hallelujah. But he was. The other vision was one I had with it was a hub that was laying on the ground. And it looked like a wagon wheel. The Holy Spirit had said to me a few days before that, this is the hub. I go, hub? I don't get the hub, but a few days, I had a dream and I saw a wagon wheel laying on the ground and it had only 5 spokes. And I looked at it and I said, well, okay. What am I seeing? Didn't know, had no idea. How many ever had something that God show you? You got no idea what's going on. Both of these visions have been that way with me. But I asked him, Lord, what was that about? Because there's something about when he's talking to you in a dream or a vision, it becomes extra clear to you. Can I say that to you? There's a clarity that comes in. It's almost like he knows. I don't want you to forget it. Because he knows how forgetful you are. Not really. I'm just Some of you, how many of you see things, hear things in bed, and you'll get up and write it down? Does anybody do that? Get up and write. I mean, I know sleep is important. I know it's valuable. I know that, you know, hey, But God gives you something. Get up and write something. Amen? Come on, man. He's talking to you. He's being one-on-one with you. Amen? God, what are you doing in my bedroom? Yeah. But no, man. He's with you. He wants to give you something. Well, this hub, I had no idea what it was. Fly into an airport, going in a plane, coming down, and all of a sudden I felt the presence of God. And I go, uh-oh. Are we going to crash or what? I don't know. I started looking around. What's going on? I go, because I can sense this heavy presence of God. And just then, the lady, the stewardess, comes on the announcement, whatever. And she goes, we are now entering Atlanta International. And she said, Hub Airport. And I go, and that word hub, I go, hub. Oh, I see what you're saying. I get it, God. I get it. And the Lord said to me, right then, he said, I will send, I will send. I go, I don't get that. He goes, I will send, I will send. And later on, I figured out that he was telling me, I will send people to you, and then I will send them away. I said, okay, cool. All right. But it had five spokes. And I asked, Lord, what are these five spokes? Why five spokes? And then it had the ring. And the Bible, the Word of God says in Ephesians, it says that he has given us teachers, prophets, evangelists. What's the other three? Pastors and apostles. Yeah, I didn't want to say pastor so much. But it says, but so these five spokes were these ministries, the fivefold ministry. But they went out. And they stopped at the rim. You got to listen to me. They stopped at the rim of the wheel. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And those words say, till we all come in the unity of the Spirit. You see, like my job, evangelists, they are all to come till we begin to hear the Spirit personally. Did I say that to you? You need to hear the Holy Ghost. Amen? I mean, you agree with that? It has to be him or no? Don't upset him. Oh, I watch every night Brother So-and-so. And every third Thursday, I watch Sister So-and-so. Are you praying? Oh, no, but I'm hearing a lot of good stuff. Yeah, well, man, you're slapping the Holy Spirit in the face saying, hey, man, I want men to teach me. I don't want you to teach me. The Bible says that you need that no man teach you, but that the Holy Spirit would teach you. It's a personal one-on-one with God. He doesn't want anybody teaching you but him. Because, folks, let me just say this to you. If those guys are teaching you and the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you something else, how are you going to know if you're not listening to him? What if God wants to teach you in a certain direction and you're too busy going all the directions you want to go on because I think this will be good or I think that'll be good. Oh, you know what? I think I'll learn this or I'll learn that. You know what? Shut up. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Say, God, teach me. You say, you don't want anybody teaching? Teach me. Amen? Don't forget what the Spirit... What all these prophets have been saying to you, you're going to see visions. You're going to see, it's because the Holy Spirit, God is wanting to take you someplace. You'll see visions. You'll see dreams because he's trying to get something to you. How many say amen to that? Woo, that's a word for you. You might not like it, but isn't that? So y'all want you to go home, go to bed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last one. Luke, we're going to go from Luke chapter 22 through from 44 to 49. We're going to end this off with the end of that chapter that we were in. And he says this, Jesus had come into the room. I mean, say amen to that. Jesus shows up in the room. Look at this, because they get all, whoa, what? They get all shook up. They go, whoa, the Bible says they get full of fear. And Jesus says, hey, peace. He says, hey, fear not. And then they're still a little bit shook up. Read it. You'll find out that they're still a little shook up. So he says, have you got something here to eat? Because he's trying to get them to calm down. How many say amen to that? He says, hey, calm down, guys. He says, so they bring him some fish. They bring him some honey. He tells them, hey, you got to know that, hey, I'm not a spirit because I've got flesh and bone. Feel me, touch me, remember that? And they're still a little shook up, so he said, bring me something to eat. So he's eating, and I can picture Jesus with that honey smeared all over, looking at him, man, you believe me now? It's me, guys. Come on, man. He's got the fish, breath smells like fish, and he's got honey sticking to him and everything. His beard's got honey on it, man, come on, man. All right, I'm just, yeah. He said, boys, it's me, amen. But guys, it's me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me. And verse 44, he says to them, he says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Listen to what he's telling them. Everything must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. How many say amen to that? Amen. Come on, man. If there's anything we need to do is that we need to understand God. Amen. And now, God, if I'm not understanding you, God, take the can opener and open me, God. Open me so I understand you. You know, the Bible says not to glory in anything. He says, don't glory in anything except that you know and understand God. Is that okay? That's what he wants you to glory in. And I thank God that, man, that he shows me and he speaks to me and he says things to me. And though folks don't agree with me, it doesn't matter because I know who's speaking to me. Is that okay? Just folks, people aren't going to agree with you. Your best friend's not going to agree with you. Maybe somebody that hey, who do you think you are saying this, that, whatever. But as long as God is saying to you, wait, okay, you don't have to believe me. Amen? But you got to believe him. Amen? You need to believe what he says. Oh, he says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you, now folks, I'm going to say that this is the last thing he said to them in this room. It's the last thing that he told them. He says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? And we know what he was talking about now, don't we? What was he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Can I tell you something? That waiting on God, God will endue you with power. He will give you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit the plan of God is that Spirit that comes within you is to lead you and guide you and teach you and bring you to the knowledge of God. Is that okay? Mankind cannot do that for you. It's only by the Spirit of God. So wait in Jerusalem till this comes upon you is what Jesus, these are his last words to them. Amen. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit coming into your life, indwelling you, empowering you to do the work that he wants to do through you. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, it's what he wants for you. It doesn't have to be what man tells you to do. It's what God tells you to do. Can you stand, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God is clear. Where Jesus said to them, oh, I don't want to be slow. Don't be slow in heart to believe all the things that he has spoken about you. Find your promises in the word of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Find out what he's saying to you. Let him speak to your heart. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for all that you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All that what you're doing, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for all you're doing. If you would raise your hands to the Lord, if you want him to begin to pour his things into you, more and more of these, if you would raise your hands to him, create a, if you will, like a cup, create a place where he will warm your heart. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you, Father God, that you would open up to us more of what you have for us. We realize, Father God, that we're all different. We're all, Father God, if you will, we are all in our own place. We are all different, God. So, Lord, would you just pour into our hearts the things that you have for us, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would bring those things, Father God, in a real and new way for us. Father, we thank you for it, Spirit. Holy Spirit, do that for us. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Hallelujah. I just want to say this one more. We're talking about Emmaus, the warmth. The warmth that God has for you. Some of you know this warmth. When you're reading the Word of God, all of a sudden you feel this warmth come upon you. How many say amen to that? This warmth comes in within you. You sense it. You know, hey, this is God. Hallelujah. Do you know the word for Emmaus is in Hebrew? It's a warm spring. A warm spring. It's a warm spring. Hallelujah. Didn't our hearts burn? Hallelujah. Can I tell you, sometimes when he's writing his word on your heart, you're going to feel that warmth. It's that warmth of his Spirit that we're after. It's that he gives to us by his Son. What Jesus has done for us, he gives us this that we might know him in a greater way. Do you want to know him in a greater way? You want to see him in a greater way. Hallelujah. He saw your hands. So let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you that your word is true. And God, you will open our hearts to receive from you the things that you have for us, Lord. Lord, show us how to do what you have for us to do. Show us how, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake somebody's hand. Say thank you for being here this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.